Kuemper Catholic, a 3-1 winner over IKM Manning. Clarinda swept 3 from Clarinda Academy. Also, it was St. Albert advancing with a 3-1 win over Trainer. Des Moines Christian beat Panorama in 3 straight. Shenandoah down Griswold 3-0. Logan Magnolia over West Monona in 3. Missouri Valley swept 3 from Westwood. Tri-Center went the distance, beating Underwood 3-2. It was Pleasantville over West Central Valley 3-1. And also I-35 beating Nottoway Valley 3-0. Those winners all advancing in tournament play in Class 2A. In regular season play last night, it was Denison defeating Atlantic 3-0. Also, Class 1A regional first round action, which is scheduled for tonight. These matches will all get underway at 7 o'clock this evening. It'll be Boyer Valley at Arweva, AHST playing at Woodbine, Charter Oak Ute is at River Valley, West Harrison hosts Whiting, Lennox is at Mount Air. It'll be Corning hosting Orient Maxburg, Villisca traveling to Bedford, East Mills is at Riverside, Stanton hosting Walnut tonight, Nishnabotna is at home to Essex, Sydney goes to Fremont Mills, Coon Rapids Bayard will host Glidden-Ralston, Guthrie Center is home to Peyton Sherdan. Cam will host Earlham tonight, and Adair Casey will be at home to face Grandview Park Baptist. All those matches at 7 o'clock tonight. In Class 1A regional play, the winners advancing to the second round of the regionals. Iowa senior wide receiver Marvin McNutt enters Saturday's home game against Indiana with a chance to put his name in the school's record books. McNutt tied the school's career record for touchdown receptions of 21 set by Danon Hughes and Tim Dwight with a fourth quarter touchdown catch in last week's 41-31 win over Northwestern. McNutt is on pace for his best season yet, leading the Hawkeyes with 35 catches for 573 yards and 5 touchdowns. McNutt is set to break the career touchdown record despite spending his first season at quarterback. Back, and he's still got at least 6 left in this season. It's tough to imagine where the Hawkeyes would be headed into the game against the Hoosiers without the likes of McNutt. Even in a conference stocked with teams that pride themselves on stopping offenses, this is a vintage year. 3 of the top 6 teams in the nation at preventing scoring and 3 of the top 7 against the pass and also in total defense came out of the Big Ten. Clearly, the conference is good at building stone walls against the many offenses designed to create mismatches or apply leverage against a defender. 6 of the top 30 teams in scoring defense came from the Big Ten. The coaches say defenses are winning out this year for a variety of reasons, but the roots of the conference's stalwart defenses go all the way back to Michigan's Bo Schembechler and Ohio State's Woody Hayes stalking the sidelines in the 1960s and 70s. Tulane Athletic Director Rick Dixon says head football coach Bob Toledo has resigned. Dixon made the announcement Tuesday and said that former offensive line coach Mark Hudson has been named interim coach for the remaining 6. The 65-year-old Toledo, a former head coach at UCLA, took over at Tulane in 2007, the Green Waves' second season back in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. Although he was 13-35 in his first 4, Toledo received a 2-year extension after last season in the hope that his recruiting efforts would pay off with a win season. Tulane, however, is off to a 2-5 start that has included lopsided losses to Tulsa, Duke, Army, and UTEP. The University of Louisville has agreed to a new 7-year contract with football coach Charlie Strong. Strong is in his second season at Louisville, and his current contract ran through the 2015 season. That new deal increases Strong's base salary from $1.6 million to $2.3 million. He called the new contract very humbling. He won 2 national championships in his 7 seasons as Florida's defensive coordinator before joining the Cardinals. This is his first head coaching job after 27 years as an assistant. Strong led Louisville to its first bowl game in 3, a 31-28 win over Southern Mississippi in the Beef O'Brady's Bowl last season. In NFL news, the Oakland Raiders have acquired quarterback Carson Palmer from Cincinnati. That move comes a day after Jason Campbell had surgery on his broken collarbone that will sideline him for at least 6. The Bengals had been adamant that they wouldn't trade Palmer, who hasn't played since the end of last season. The franchise quarterback decided he wouldn't play another season with Cincinnati, even though his contract runs through the 2014 season. But owner Mike Brown reversed course when the Raiders were willing to send a 2012 first-round pick and a second-round pick in the 2013 draft of the Bengals. That trade leaves the Raiders with picks only in the 5th and 6th rounds in next year's draft. The sports agency that represents Christian Ponder has tweeted that the rookie quarterback will start for the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday against Green Bay. The Vikings are 1-5 and coming off a 39-10 loss at Chicago, with veteran Donovan McNabb ineffective most of the year. The Philadelphia Eagles traded running back Ronnie Brown to the Detroit Lions for running back Jerome Harrison and an undisclosed draft pick in 2013. Harrison is starting his second stint with the Eagles. He was first acquired in a 2010 trade with Cleveland and rushed for 239 yards and a touchdown. Bengals running back Cedric Benson has received a one-game suspension from the NFL for his two misdemeanor assault cases settled before the season. A person familiar with the discussions is telling the Associated Press that Benson originally received a three-game suspension for the incidents, but appealed. With the Bengals heading into their bye, Benson would miss a game in Seattle on October 30th. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin says All-Pro safety Troy Polamalu should be good to go for Sunday's game against Arizona after he passed a concussion test. The NFL's executive vice president says league leadership wants the Vikings to remain in Minnesota but is worried about what might happen if the team's Metrodome lease expires without a plan in place to build a new stadium. Eric Grubman and another NFL VP met Tuesday with Governor Mark Dayton to talk stadium politics as the governor pushes for a November special session on the issue. Grubman says the NFL wants the Vikings in Minnesota. He's worried that a stalemate would ensue if there's no stadium agreement at the state capitol by the time the Metrodome lease expires at the end of the year. Grubman says that could leave an opening for an alternative plan in another city that's seeking an NFL franchise. Grubman leads the league's business operations. The opening game of the World Series is set for tonight with the National League champion St. Louis Cardinals serving as the host. Following the first two games in the Gateway City, the series will shift to Arlington, Texas, home of the American League champion Texas Rangers. The first game pitching matchup has C.J. Wilson towing the rubber for the Rangers against Chris Carpenter of the Cardinals. This will be Wilson's third straight Game 1 playoff start this postseason, and he's looking for his first win. A year ago, he was the loser in Game 2 of the World Series to San Francisco. Carpenter is out for a franchise record 8th career postseason victory. In his only other World Series start, Carpenter pitched 8 shutout innings to win Game 3 of the 2006 Fall Classic for the Cards when they beat Detroit. The Cardinals have the home field advantage in the series because the National League won the All-Star game in July. Game 2 will be played at Busch Stadium tomorrow night with Friday a travel day to Texas, and then they'll resume play Saturday night. The weather forecast is calling for temperatures in the upper 40s with a chance of rain and wind for the World Series opener. The wind chill is expected to drop into the upper 30s as Game 1 progresses. It was in the mid-50s as the teams took their batting practice yesterday at Busch Stadium, though some players wore ski caps. It's been damp before in St. Louis during the World Series. A 2006 game against Detroit was postponed by rain, and there was rain in 2004 against Boston. You can hear that game live tonight here on the radio. We'll have the World Series games for you here on KJAN. The ESPN broadcast of the ball games gets underway at 6 o'clock tonight with the first pitch scheduled for 7:05. Umpire Jerry Lane has been named the crew chief for the series. The six-man crew announced by Major League Baseball includes two umpires working their first series, Greg Gibson and Ron Culpa. The 23-year Major League umpire Lane will be working his second series and first as crew chief. He'll be behind the plate tonight in Game 1. Regular season crew chief Gary Cederstrom, Ted Barrett, and Alfonso Marquez will also be making their second World Series appearances. Gibson will be at first base, Marquez at second, Culpa at third with Barrett and left field, and Cederstrom in right for the opener. Well, the Boston Red Sox have denied a television report that pitchers John Lester, Josh Beckett, and John Lackey drank beer in the dugout during games. WHDH-TV posted the report on its website, citing two unidentified Red Sox employees. Lester, Beckett, and Lackey dismissed the allegation in a statement issued by the team Tuesday night. Lester calls it completely false, and former manager Terry Francona says he's never seen anyone drink beer in the dugout during his 32 years in professional baseball. The Red Sox missed the playoffs following a record collapse, going 7-20 in September. Four U.S. senators and health officials from the cities hosting the World Series are urging the Baseball Players Union to agree to a ban on chewing tobacco at games and on camera. The senators and the health officials from St. Louis and Arlington, Texas, made the pleas in separate letters obtained Tuesday by the Associated Press. The senators told union head Michael Weiner that when players use smokeless tobacco, they endanger their own health, as well as set poor examples for kids who watch the games on television. Well, IndyCar officials have canceled this week's two-day test of the new 2012 car at Las Vegas. The move comes 2 days after Dan Weldon, who did most of the testing for the 2012 car, was killed in a fiery 15-car crash at the same track. Target Chip Ganassi managing director Mike Hall says IndyCar made the call on its own and that his team will test the new car later this year. Four-time series champ Dario Franchitti was scheduled to run at the 1.5-mile oval today and Thursday. He and Weldon were close friends. IndyCar's new Dallara chassis will be named in honor of two-time Indianapolis 500 winner Dan Weldon, who conducted most of the testing on that new 2012 IndyCar. In a statement Tuesday, company president and founder Gianpaolo Dallara says Dan lives in the memory of everybody at Dallara. We will honor his memory for the years to come by dedicating the Dallara IndyCar 2012 in his name. He deserves that. IndyCar officials say they will hold a public memorial service Sunday afternoon at Conseco Fieldhouse. That service will get underway at 4 o'clock. Meanwhile, IndyCar will get help with its investigation of the crash that killed Weldon last Sunday. IndyCar says Formula One's governing body and the Automobile Competition Committee of the United States, an umbrella organization of auto racing sanctioning bodies in the U.S., will assist in a full investigation of that crash. In the National Hockey League last night, Carolina beat Boston 4-1, Dallas 3-2 over Columbus, Washington beat Florida 3-0, Buffalo over Montreal 3-1, Philadelphia outscored Toronto 7-2. It was Pittsburgh over Minnesota 4-2, Calgary 2-1 over Minnesota over Edmonton, Chicago beat Phoenix 5-2, the New York Rangers down Vancouver 4-0, while Los Angeles blanked St. Louis 5-0. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.